All right, Project, welcome back to this episode of In the Black. Now, today we have on a guy named Luca Holsever. So, it's interesting. We don't really ask any questions. He kind of, it's just more like a guided monologue, I think is probably the best way to say. But that's not to say this is one of the best podcasts we have done on In the Black. So, Luca owns a place called Vigor Strength and Performance, which is in, Vigor Ground Fitness. And this is a functional training center, does a lot of personal training. It's got an academy. It's one of the best gyms in Washington. And, you know, the more we do this podcast, the bigger the show gets because of you guys. We're able to reach bigger and more knowledgeable guests. You know, people who really walk the walk and don't just bullshit us. And you know, that's not to say that's happened recently on the podcast. But, you know, back in the day, that some people come on the show, they're not as legit as they seem. But this is one of those people who is 100% of what they say. He puts in the work. He has a successful business. He knows tons of people in the industry. He runs a successful gym and he gets people results. He not only coaches other gym owners, but he himself also owns an incredible gym. And he's been in the game such a long time. I believe it's nearly 2 decades. So talking about a wealth of experience and just the knowledge you'll get from this guy's Instagram is incredible. If you just go Luca, L-U-K-A, Holsever, H-O-C-E-V-R. VAR. This guy's incredible. But this show is incredible. And I think you guys will get a lot out of it. And, you know, even though we sort of guided his monologue, there's just tons of information and there's tons of lessons and there's just tons of really good practices that you guys will get heaps out of just from listening to this man just speak so passionately about the industry. And he really fires me up. So we're pumped and hopefully we can land a podcast again with him when we're in the States. We're trying to tee that up. But more information on that at a later point. So guys, today's show was brought to you by Wattify. It is the gym software that we use in our gyms. If you're not using it, you need to get on it. If you go to wattify.com/MMP, you can get an incredible offer for 50% off your first year, which is just absolutely absurd. So it's a great deal. If you guys join up wattify.com/MMP, you guys can get that deal. And remember, it's just going to make your life easier. That's what you want. You want efficiency, you want effectiveness, you want good performance on the back end for your coaches and your staff, and you want really good performance on the front end for your clients. So that's what Wattify specializes and excels in both. As well, guys, today's podcast was brought to you by True Coach. If you guys are a personal trainer, if you're a coach at a gym and you want software to manage your clients and their programs, as well as, you know, track them remotely through, let's say, video work, technique work, communication, True Coach is the center for all that. And very soon they'll have payments. So you'll be able to run your entire PT business on one platform, which is going to make your life so much easier and so convenient just to be able to open your computer, open your phone, go to one application, one web hub, and get everything that you need in one place. Efficiency. That's what we're all about. So if you go to truecoach.co/MMP, that's .co, so not .com, .co/MMP, you can get a free trial just to see what you guys think it's like. You know, trial it with one or two clients, see how you go. And look, if you really like it and you want to continue, you get a percentage discount off the next month. So great offer. So guys, that is it for our sponsors. Go check them out. And then let's jump into today's podcast. With everything, there's so much talk in the industry these days, especially health and fitness. So much like, I did this, I'm like this. But don't tell us, like show us. Show us that you get clients in incredible results. Show us that, like, you know, you can lift those weights or you can do that physical thing or you can get yourself into this sort of shape as opposed to just like telling everyone about it, you know?
You know what? You know what? So you make a good point and I would take this a little deeper because think about it. So right now, a lot of, the marketing and fitness has exploded, right? It's like everybody can get you leads. Everybody's got a challenge. Everybody's got, you know, this, that, and the other going on. And I'm like, you know what not a lot of people are doing is like actually showing how you get there. So even on the fitness side, right? How about, obviously just giving examples that you could do in a lot of different areas. But if like you had a client that had an incredible result, I don't know, they're 100 pounds overweight and, you know, they struggled their whole life yo-yo dieting, but then they came to you and like in a year and a half, you helped them lose 100 pounds. That became a part of their lifestyle. Like write a blog on exactly how you did it and on all the struggles along the way. Mm. Right. Literally show the behind the scenes. You know, why do people watch reality TV shows? Why do they love watching the behind the scenes stuff? Like this is like, because we love mysterious stuff, right? We like the mystery. We like the, hey, what happened? Cool. Like show that to people because guess what? the client that's read, like, or should I say the potential prospect that's reading that is going to be like, holy shit, that's the same problems I've gone through and I haven't been able to do that. But Jenny did with Coach Mike, you know what I mean? Like, and people don't do that. And I don't know the reasons for it, whether it's like, oh no, I'm going to give away my secrets, you know, or lack of confidence, or just, I don't know, not having that insight of doing that. But, you know, that, like, that breaks through the white noise a lot more because you're creating value for the marketplace with real people, real situations, and you're kind of showing them like, hey, look, this is what we did. You can actually take this information and use it and maybe help yourself before you ever come train with me. So now that's creating relational equity. But on the other side of things, it's too, it's social proof, but it's social proof wrapped up in like realism, like, hey, guess what? Like, yeah, it wasn't linear. This person struggled the first 3 months. Like, here's what happened, you know, and here's what we did, right? It's a big, big, big difference. Cause to me, like, before and after pictures in fitness, it's not that they're bad, right? Like, but I can run a 8-week challenge right now and do some crazy shit with people, like, you know, super low carb and they're training a lot and fucking, you know, this, that, and the other. Everybody loses 20 pounds, right? And then I'm like, before and after picture, yay, right? Like, and then what happens in 9 months, you know, and we do another, I call it the after picture, right? Yeah. And it's like, oh shit, they put all the weight back on or 30 pounds back on. And it's like, that's a little fucking misleading, man. Like, because I want to do the before, after, and a person's like, yeah, this is my life now. Like, I'm not doing a challenge necessarily to do this. And not to say that challenges don't have their place, you know, that's not what I'm saying, but like, it should be a catalyst for something that gets ingrained in your life, right?
Yeah.
And so this, I think, is important. I think that's kind of like the view that a lot of people in places don't do, whether it's promoting, you know, your gym or fitness or whatever, or whether it's promoting your marketing or business coaching. I mean, just get like, show everything. Cause we live in a world where like information is plenty. So it's almost like this, you know, this kind of path at the bottom is information. Not to say it's not valuable, but, you know, especially if I think information has to be presented in a way that's not entertaining and educational, right? Has to be like infotainment, because, you know, nobody wants to watch bland shit. Like, we just live in a world where people do want to be entertained. So at the bottom, you got that information that is infotainment. And then the next thing is like implementation, right? And then the top, that top part of it is like, do it, you know, done for you. Although I will say that fortunately or unfortunately in fitness, there is no done for you, right? Like, I can't do the workout for you. I can't put the food in your mouth.
Not yet.
So there's this coactive kind of approach to it. But, you know, but I think people get afraid of like giving away too much stuff. And I just had Joe DeFranco on a podcast a couple of weeks ago. He was out there. We had a CPPS here at my gym. And, you know, told a great story about, and I said, well, listen, man, like, how, tell us, I mean, I knew it because like I've known Joe, but like, I said, how did you get, you know, Triple H to be a client? And he was like, man, you know, I used to do these things. And maybe you guys remember, but he used to do these blog posts, you know, we're talking back in the day, like 15 years ago, you know, 17 years ago type shit.
And, yeah, it was Ask Joe. I read everyone.
Oh, yeah?
Ask Joe. Yeah, exactly. Ask him. And all he did, you know, and people were telling him like, nah, man, don't put all that stuff out there. You're giving them everything, right? And he was like, yeah, man, but like, this is the stuff that people ask me. It's not like I'm going to get less clients because of it. So he went against it, kept writing. But guess what? Like, so many people read that and were like, oh shit, this is great. And so did Triple H. Triple H was following him, kept reading it, like, didn't hit him up right away, kind of still followed him for like years and was like, oh man, this guy's still around, still doing his thing, you know, hearing a lot about it. And that's when he reached out directly, right? But, and now, you know, if you think about now, fast forward 15 years, we just have way more platforms and opportunity to do stuff. I mean, you know, from Instagram to Facebook to, you know, videos exploded, like the shit that you can do with video off of your damn phone, you know, like 15 years ago, you couldn't do with a high level camera, right? You'd have to spend thousands of dollars to shoot some stuff and chop it up. Like, now I'm like, you know, I could be taking a shit and create a fucking video on Video Shop, you know, like, and, but it's like, that's, you know, that's the world we live in. But I think that the frame still hasn't changed, right? Like, the guys that were giving out amazing content through email or blog posts or, you know, because people say blog posts are dead. It's like, no, shitty blog posts are dead. You know, email's dead. Well, if you write shitty email, it's dead. You know, if you write really engaging quality email that like it, that just that reads well and gives quality information and storytelling, people are still killing. Like, so it's more about the craft, right? It's about the quality and it's about the consistency, because, you know, very rare. I think the other part is that we live in a world where it's like, even if people that hit me up is like, hey, like in the next 2-3 months, I want to achieve this. And I'm like, all right. And then like, I'm a optimist, right? Like I'm certainly an optimistic person, but at the same time, I'm also, you know, somewhat of a realist. If you guys hear music in the back, it's because I'm going to use my controls to turn the gym music down a little bit. They're getting buff downstairs. with that said, it's like, man, like, you know, hey, I want to blow this thing up in 2 to 3 months. Like, so I was on the phone with a guy, long story short, phone with a guy, and we're talking, and he's like, man, I really want to change my culture. You know, like, it's just gotten to a place. I know that it's not right. I really want to shift it around.
The gym culture. And,
yeah, gym culture. Yeah, gym okay, culture. Yeah, like, yeah. Between, and he was talking about both team and clients, right? Because the team culture dictates the gym client culture. So, and I said, okay, well, tell me a little bit more, right? So we're talking about it. And he's like, I'd love if I could turn it around in the next 3 months. And I'm like, okay, well, listen, let's create a frame around here, okay? How long has this been going on? He's like, 7 years. Okay. So you want to turn around, like, human behavior in 3 months that's been going on for 7 years. Man, I'm like, listen, I can't, I'm not like Gandalf the Great, you know what I mean? Like, this shit's not going to work out like this. But, what I said was like, look, if you make a true commitment, you will see change in 3 months, right? There's a big difference between change and like completely changing the culture. Mm. And if you guys read like one of my favorite books on leadership and culture is called Legacy, about the All Blacks. And it's phenomenal. You got to read it. It's great. But in there, it talks about this culture change and how long it took, you know, and it's like, man, it took like a long time. But they were committed to it. They were committed to the process, and changes started happening pretty fast, but it took a long time to actually completely convert, you know, and that's part of the issue now, where I get it. Like, I get the marketing standpoint of like, hey man, I got this checklist and, you know, this 7-point strategy that will, you know, all, that's all you got to do. And it's like, man, it's much more than that. Cause a lot of times business owners have to change themselves to change the culture, right? Like, you're the leader. So like a lot of it's going to go like how you treat the team, how can you communicate with the team, the psychological safety of the team. It has to do around a lot around you. And then that kind of starts changing the shift with clients and every new person that comes in. So, you know, I would love to fucking, you know, just be like, hey guys, like all you got to do is blah, 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 you know? But those things, you know, can take a long time. And it's the same thing. Like, you can start running ads tomorrow, and for somebody that's never done any, you know, paid marketing, might have some fast results. But once again, what we've seen is that people that have really good structure and culture and word of mouth, they're pretty good at sales. Like, you know, that'll have a quick effect, because now you're just generating more leads. What you see more often is that really people didn't have a true lead problem. There was other issues in place, right? Because I'll ask the question like, well, how many leads are you guys getting? You know, like, we're getting like 10 a month. I'm like, okay, so you don't have a complete lead problem. So how many do you convert? It's like maybe 2 to 3. Okay, how many are you losing a month? Man, like 4. Mm. Like, okay, so you don't have a lead issue, right? You have, number one, a retention issue. And number two, you have a conversion issue. And like, then you got to start digging deeper. Like, who are you marketing to? What type of people are coming in? What's your sales process? What's your, like, even more importantly, what's your customer experience and front end offer? Right. And then let's fix that before we add any type of fuel and crazy stuff to it, you know, because otherwise you're just going to accelerate that. You're going to get 50 leads and you're going to convert 10. You're going to lose 10. You're going to spend a bunch of money, and the people that leave are going to be like, ah, that place is not that great. And then, you know what I mean? It's just like, you're just fueling the fire behind actually telling people that you're not that awesome. And that's not a great route to go about it. And the way I look at business, man, is like, it's kind of like detective work, right? Example, it's very similar. Like, the underlying stuff is very similar to somebody coming in and going, hey, like, I really want to change my lifestyle. I got to start eating different and training, whatever, right? And you ask questions. And at the beginning, they're like, oh, yeah, I just need to, you know, I need to go lower carb, or, I need to stop snacking. And then the deeper you go, you start kind of finding these patterns, right? Like, you do detective work. You get to the first problem, like, oh, okay, let's solve this. And then you go forward and find the next clue, and then you kind of solve that. It's the same thing with business. You know, somebody goes like, I have this problem. And then you kind of dig a little bit deeper and you're like, oh, what's going on here? Oh, well, you know, that's not really a big deal. And then we kind of actually find out that, like, that is a big deal. And just shining the light on that is like, oh shit. Like, you know what? I realized that, like, we don't even have team meetings. Like, we don't even have targets. I don't even sit down with my coaches to find out what they want in their lives and their careers and everything else. Right. Like, do you think that that might be an issue? You know, like, it's like, yeah, possibly. Actually, they're all really pissed off at me. Oh, you didn't tell me that at the beginning, right? Because you got a lead problem. So it's, you know, if business or transformation was so easy, man, like, it would be, you know, 96% of small businesses wouldn't fail over the course of 10 years, right? Like, and so that's why it's like, I, you know, anytime I get an opportunity to talk about this, I do, because, you know, awareness precedes change. And if there can be awareness around, you know, people looking at themselves first and looking inside of their business and going like, hey, do I feel that we provide a, you know, incredible customer experience? All right. So this is my philosophy on the foundation of a really quality, successful business. It's the three C's. It's culture, coaching, and customer experience. Right. And like, I always check, like, for me, it's always looking at that first. Right. First. And then, like, I put everything in, like, these, you know, easy to remember things. So the second three C's for me are content, communication, and cash. So content really is like, how much value do you provide for the marketplace? Communication is actually your marketing, like your actual paid ads or front end offers, funnels that you have. And then cash is just your conversion into your front end offers, right? Because then once they're in your trials or a challenge or whatever else it is that the front end offer is, then if you excel at those three, the culture, the customer experience, and the coaching, like, then they'll convert to long-term members and you're winning. You know what I mean? So that's, and then there's another three C's, but those are the first kind of six C's that I look at. But I start with those three, you know, culture, coaching, customer experience. Like, and looking into those and saying like, hey, do you guys, you know, are you on point there? Because more so than ever, like, in my area, like, man, it's, you know, I don't think it's as bad as, like, for instance, LA is, but Seattle's definitely, you know, it's a, you know, biggest city in the Pacific Northwest, you know, good amount of money, like, big market, you know, you get, like, right now, Burn Bootcamp, F45, Orange Theory, Nine Rounds, like, I mean, these, you know, kind of boutique franchises, group training gyms popping up left and fucking right, you know, and how do you differentiate? Like, how do you put yourself in a category where you're not even competing with them, you know, and it's going to accelerate. You know, the numbers are crazy. So in the last 5 years, micro gyms, so gyms like probably, you know, mine will fall into that category, have grown by 70%. Wow. 70%. That's fucking insane. 21% of Americans have a gym membership. 1 out of 5. Like, it's grown insanely, right? And it continues to grow. And you'd look at that and go like, well, that's awesome. And I'd say, well, yeah, it is to a degree. We also know, like, you know, I was talking to Joel about the research. So in the last 16 years, you know, gym memberships have literally doubled, right? The amount that women train has gone up 100%. The amount the men train has gone up 65%. So just based off those statistics, like, we could all be here and go like, man, we're doing it, right? And in the same time frame that has happened, obesity has more than doubled, right? So obviously fucking something is wrong. Right. And the growth in gyms and information is not the solution. How do we know? Statistics tell us that's not the solution. Right. Because we have the information, but there's the gap in the integration. How we take information into integration, that's what creates transformation. So, you know, you got a lot of these gyms. It's like, yeah, just come in and work out and hit. And we're going to, you know, woo, sweat, smash you. And here's your heart rate monitor. What about, like I said, understanding psychology, behavior science? You know what I mean? Like, social sciences, pedagogy, like, basically, how do you get a person to actually do the things that they already know how to do? Right? That's a skill set. And like, there's not enough coaches, or especially like these bigger gyms that have bigger marketing budgets and, you know, can do a nationwide campaign. But if you go, you know, into most of those gyms, first of all, you know, they don't do nutrition. They don't do, you know, most of them have liabilities. So they're like, fuck, we're not touching this, you know, could get, they don't develop their staff, right? They don't have like seminars and in staffs and go like, hey, listen, let's work on assessments today. Let's work on how we get somebody more thoracic rotation, extension, cuff stability so that, you know, their shoulders will feel better. No, it's like, come in, hey, yay, here's your t-shirt and let's fucking go. You know what I mean? Like, and now, of course, now you got a problem because you have people that are training enough, but it's not helping them change. Right. And I believe the future of the gym business for micro gyms like us and ours is like that. You know, we obviously get the results, but that we start preaching more of this. And that's what I'm sharing in blogs and videos and seminars that I do live in the gym, is so that people go like, oh, shit, he makes a point. Right. And it's backed by science. It's not like my opinion. It's backed by science. So, you know, more educate, like how many, like, trust me, guys, when I go into do speaking seminars or I do workshops or whatever else it may be, I always go like, hey, how many of you guys have do seminars in your gym? You know, maybe a couple hands go up, maybe. And I'm like, okay, cool. Who's done one in the last 3 months? Like, right. What about the last month? Like nobody, right. Like, and I always talk about it. I'm like, what's the best way to get in front of people, position yourself as an expert, do a seminar, make it free, make it paid and give the money to charity. But guess what? Like, people come in and then you can show them stuff. They get results in advance. If it's a mobility workshop, they'll feel better. If it's a nutrition workshop, you're showing them and explaining and showing them examples of, you know, why people fail and like, what are some things that are better choices, and give them, you know, a case study of how you help somebody just like them, and then record the whole thing and then put it on YouTube and chop it up, put it on IG, put it on Facebook, man, like, That's that content part that we talked about in the first three C's, right? Like, and so you're winning. Now you do that for a year, all of a sudden people start paying attention. You know, like, we get people walk in and go like, hey man, I've been following your videos for 2 years, you know, or somebody's been on the email list for 5 or 6, you know, and it's like, you never know what's going to be the right time for them to make a choice. You can't force that, right? When you run ads, like, literally you're getting about, maybe, you know, even the people that opt in, you know, you might get 15%. Like, this is, you know, obviously industry-wide statistics, about 15% of people will take you up in the first 3 months, 10 to 15. That's like 85, 90% are not doing anything in the first 3 months. Like, it might be a year. You know, like, I know Ryan Stuman was saying that he gets a person to buy after 8 months of consuming his content, 8 months. Right. But we live right now in a world where, you know, okay, cool. Hire a marketing company, create front end offer ad, run ad. Right. And it's like, you're just trying to convert the people that you get on the phone and get in front of you. Then the rest are just dead. Like, ah, fuck it. You know, done. Instead of constantly, I would say, creating, indoctrinating people, you know, creating an insight in your business and showing how you're helping people out and like showing your culture and your own, like, your charisma and your character, and just like, obviously your own goofy. And I mean, like, the whole gym and every coach, not just like me, your whole company. And that's the thing that makes people differentiate, right? Like, but if I can't find out anything about you, you know, it's going to be a problem. Like, literally 6 years ago, it only took 6 points of contact before somebody bought something, right? Meaning, your friend tells you like, hey man, like, go to this great gym called Vigor Ground. Like, that's 1 point of contact, right? Then they'll get an email. That's 2, right? After 6 points of contact, somebody would make a buying decision. Now it's like 17, yeah. Like 18.
Yeah. I heard, you know,
and,
the other day.
And yeah, it's great. Like, but, and people, you know, somebody said, well, why is that, Luke? I'm like, well, because people have more access. Like, anybody can Google you, Yelp you, check your YouTube channel, go on your blog. Like, oh, this person doesn't write any blogs. You know, they can go here, they can go there. So they don't, like, they're shopping under your nose. They don't have to come to you and call you. Like, most people, by the time they call you, they're already like, yeah, I like these guys, right? Not everybody, but most. And so, of course, I did this Prezo, I don't know, like probably 2 years ago, changing the game. And I was like, okay, cool, man. Like, let me Google you right now. Let me Google you and see what pops up, right? And what if there's very few things that pop up? I'm not going to go with you. Like, because people are like, oh man, this person's not, you know, I can't find out anything about them. And like, people are very, like, we live in a world where, like, information's like, you know, 3,000, 4,000 pieces of marketing a day. So like, if a person can't find out stuff about you, like they're moving on a lot of times, unless, you know, unless it was a friend referral, your sister or something like that. I'm not saying in every situation, because like I'm talking about the aspect of the content communication cash part. Like, you know, if you do a great job, you'll have referrals and word of mouth. And like, I think that's the foundation anyways, but that can't be enough. You know, if you want a predictable and sustainable business that you can scale and you can grow, you know, you have to have, I would say content marketing. You have to have, you know, paid advertising and the front end offers, at least to the degree that you can go like, hey, I can turn it on and off. And if you can't show people like what you do, how you're different, and not by saying it, like I'm different and better, right? You want other people to say that about you, or even better, you want to show people, you know. And Frank Kern always talked about this kind of like results in advance philosophy, right? And this is my favorite kind of analogy to get. So apart from having we have a 30-day trial, it's a paid trial, but we have a money back guarantee. Pretty much like literally if a person comes in, I'm like, hey, you experienced us for 30 days, like literally the whole shebang, semi-private, our team training, nutrition coaching, everything. And yeah, you're going to pay this lower price that like this costs way more, but we're going to give it to you for like only, you know, $197. But listen, if at any point in time you feel like you're not getting your money's worth and your value, or you just don't think we're a fit and like, hey, we're not a fit for everybody, just let us know. We'll give you every penny back. There's no ongoing contract. Actually, not until like week four, you don't sit down with somebody to decide how you want to move forward. Right. So in those 30 days, they're getting results in advance. But beyond that, how do you do it in marketing? Okay. So let's say I put up a blog post and it's like, hey, seven exercises I do daily that have gotten me out of back pain, which I did, you know, 7 years ago, I had a horrible, horrible back injury. Like really, really bad. Not kind of like just had back pain my whole life, but issues with it. But like, I'm pain free. I have a shitty, if you did an MRI, like my MRI looks like Afghanistan. It's not great. It's shitty. But like, man, I can deadlift a lot and like I'm out of pain and, you know, and I've studied the crap out of low back pain. But if I like write that blog post, a person that is struggling with back pain is going to be like, huh, man, what are those seven exercises? Click, right? And then they read through it and I'm literally giving them seven videos of stuff that I do every day. And they go like, all right, this weird fucking Eastern European guy, I'll go with it for a second. And they start doing the exercises and they're like, yo, I did those seven drills. Holy shit, I feel better. I just gave that guy results in advance. He never paid me a dollar, right? He never paid me a dollar. He's never seen me, like maybe met me in person, but they go like, oh shit, what he said works. Now they connect those two. I give him results in advance. I created what's called relational equity, right? I read some more stuff. Oh, here's some shoulder shit. Well, you know what? My right shoulder's cranky out of labor tear. Damn, I did those drills. That fucking shit work too, right? I just built a whole bunch of value now before they ever even saw me. And now, you know, at some point in time, this person might go, you know what? I've gotten some results, but fuck, man, like I need more. Like I want to lose these 20 pounds. My hip's still bugging me. And like, if I watched his videos and was able to get some results, imagine what it's like to train with them. Mm. Right. This is how this works. That's why I'm like such a big proponent. I'm like, man, like, give insight from what you're already doing. And Gary Vee says, like, don't even create, just document, right? Document shit that you're already doing. You don't have to make stuff up, which unfortunately a lot of people do, but like, just show the stuff that you know and give it away. And look, the reality is we all know, like, hey, I got literally 1,100 books between my office and at home. But guess what? If I read a fucking book and it's like, damn, this is powerful, like, I really want to take this, you know, this knowledge to the next level, I'll probably get a course from the author. And hey, if the author does some type of coaching, I'll probably fucking get that. Like, you know, if I really want to excel in that, I'll get that too. Because I know that that person can give me more guidance and support and insight and knowledge and accountability to make shit happen, right? If we were able to just take information, then everybody would be fit. Everybody would be really successful because there's so much information in the world to do that. But of course, the way our brain works and the neurology and how we, you know, create patterns in our life and how emotional pain drives this, that, and the other, and a lot of different things that are underlying, like, it doesn't work that way, right? And that's why, you know, great coaches will never be out of a job. You know, virtual, you know, when AI goes on board and all these other fucking, it doesn't matter. Like, great coaches will always have a place in this world to help people shift and change, period.
Yeah. Mm. That was good. Yeah. Well, we didn't really ask many questions, but we've got a good podcast.
Yeah, I've got some issues, man. When I get going, like, I'm drinking a bang, so it's like, it's not helping. A lot of caffeine.
Yeah, that stuff is lethal. Absolutely. It is lethal. Well, look, how far into this are we? Oh, we're 30 minutes in. So if people are coming on board, you mentioned a few issues. I wanted to go back with your C's that you mentioned, the six C's.
Mm-hmm.
For most gym owners and fitness professionals, what is the most common C that you feel like is lacking? I heard you say content, and I'm like, everyone's putting out content. That doesn't really seem to be too much of an issue. But you mentioned that guy before. Obviously, he had a cultural issue. Like, which of the C's do you find you're going to most to kind of help people with?
Oof, man, I'll just share a quick nugget on the content part, and like literally in one sentence, there's a lot of content. It's just not quality. I would say, you know, quality and consistency on the content, obviously, for most people need to improve. But I think the bigger issue is, look, I'll start with, I think culture, and here's why, okay? Because that might sound very, very cliche-ish, but culture gets created by values of the leader and also by leadership communication. And I don't think it's studied enough. You know, I don't think it's worked on enough. Like, so I'll give you an example, because I know sometimes, like, talking about stuff, people are like, I don't know what he's fucking talking about, you know? And but like, for instance, a lot of time the person that is the gym owner, you know, they have stress and fear and all these things in their life, and that makes them work a certain way or, you know, operate a certain way. And I'll just tell you what I see with a lot of gym owners is they don't, like, if you're just trying to get the numbers and break even every month and, you know, hopefully get into the black, or maybe you are in the black, but you're like, oh man, I gotta make money, right? And your focus is just on you, either on the problem, on you, or like making more. Guess what you're not thinking about? You're not thinking about your team, right? And this is, so you kind of see a lot, like a lot of this path that I've seen, you know, with talking to thousands of fit pros, is ends up being somebody's good. Like, they might be, you know, personal trainer, do well for themselves. They're a coach, they do well, or they're part of some other place. And then they're like, okay, I get it. Now it's time for me to open my place. And they step into this role and they operate the same way as they did when they were by themselves, right? And they by themselves can make shit happen. Usually, you know, they can work a lot of hours, push this, that, the other. There's a certain way that they operate. And so then they bring that into the space of a team, and then they operate the same way, not understanding that you cannot operate the same way. Okay. Because every single one of your team coaches, you know, front desk management, CEO, whatever, whether it's one person or it's 10 or whatever it is, like, every single one of those people have dreams, aspirations, fears, you know, a history, like history as in like patterns and things that made them who they are, good and bad, right? And each one of those people needs nurturing and understanding. And like, the number one thing in organizations that have great teams and successful high performing teams was psychological safety, right? Google did this. I mean, I don't know how much they spent, but it was like tens of millions, if not over $100 million on these studies to figure out why their teams and other like high performing company teams were performing best. And it wasn't talent. Like, one of the few things was psychological safety, right? Which means that people felt safe to get criticized. People felt safe to share tough things. People felt safe to have challenging conversations because they knew that the person cared enough. And so they could say, hey, look, man, like, I really don't like when you do this and you fucked up. And they wouldn't feel the fear of getting yelled at and crushed and penalized for it, but rather just the person would be open to, you know, tell me more about that, right? So it's like everybody felt like they're on the same page. And, you know, this overused word, but vulnerability. And so psychological safety is first. And so when a leader isn't good at communication and creating psychological safety in a workplace, guess what? You're going to have, like, people are going to come and they're going to go. So now you have churn and burn and you have turnover. like, and we know fitness industry, highest turnover out of any industry except for restaurants. That's it. You know what I mean? In the world, out of any industry, right? So how do you create a quality team when they keep coming and going? How do you create security and trust and predictability when people keep coming and going? Like when somebody keeps coming and going, what do you have to do? You have to always train them again, train them in coaching, right? So that's why I say culture first, because it affects coaching and it affects customer experience, right? Because now it's like a whole new group of people. Okay, let me teach assessments. Let me teach this. Let me teach that. Let me teach this. Let me teach. And you're mentoring them. You're guiding them. Like that is your role. And if you don't like that role, you either got to have a partner that does that, or you're probably not, you know, maybe you shouldn't be doing it. You know what I mean? But that comes along with the business, like becoming a great communicator. It's not a choice. Like, I mean, it is a choice, but like, man, I'm telling you, like, if you don't have that, you're fucked. Period. There's no ad that will save you. There's no, like, there's nothing that will save you. You know what I mean? Like, and so like, that's why I say, because now that internal part of, and like, I've been through this, right? So I'm not like, I'm speaking from like, you know, I've had coaches go, I've had that happen, you know? And so I've learned the hard way. I fucked up. I've made the mistakes, you know, like a lot of them. I mean, I've, you know, between the gym in Slovenia, we had that gym for 13 years now. The gym in Seattle, I've had it for over 10, you know, like I've been through the recessions. I've been through people coming and go. I mean, you name it. And one of the most important things to me now is, you know, building this team that, first of all, like everybody feels safe. Like we really have a strong bond and like, you know, I would say a unified vision. But also, like, I want to help them build careers, like, where they make good money. They're not overworked and working too much. Like, I think about them. Like, it's that whole analogy for the good of all, right? For the good of me, too. I want to fucking do great for me, but I want to do great for them. I want them to do great. You know what I mean? Like, so I'm thinking about that. And just that thought process and going, like, hey, maybe I need to, you know, I think a lot of people need to ask themselves, like, hey, are you a great leader? Are you a great communicator? Right? Are you for the good of all, or is it just as long as you churn your numbers and fuck everybody else? You know, and like honestly, a lot of franchises, you know, that's their. I mean, their motto is like, you're gonna get paid this much. We're not gonna help you develop. Like, you know, this is, you come in and you do your thing. We pay you per hour, and that's that. Right? And as a gym owner, like I'm not in a position to go like, hey, looking for a coach, $70,000 position. You know. So I have to revert to the other side, which is development, and develop the coaches. Now, the value that we deliver on that side is, I'll tell you, and this is not opinionated, this is factual. So in the state of Washington, there is no gym that has as much continuing education as we do. Like, and it's so far, like, it's almost like the difference between, I don't know, the sec, you know, the gyms that are kind of the average is like going to play at the YMCA. Or playing an all-star game, NBA all-star game. Like that's how big of a difference. Like this year, 11 seminars. That's not counting in staffs and the stuff I go to or the stuff my team goes to. It means 11 seminars here at Vigor. Dr. Stuart McGill, John Russin, CPPS, Joe DeFranco. Like, I mean, the best of the best of the best. Like that's, you know, last year we had 11. Year before that we had 9. I mean, we've had like literally 73 people, some of them multiple times. You know, for the last 10 years, it's so outrageous that it you can't touch it. And so that's a big part of our sell. Like, hey, yeah, like, you know, I can't just give you salary when you come in. I mean, sometimes, but like majority of the time, but guess what? You'll get so much mentorship. Like if you leave in 3 years, 5 years, like, man, like your knowledge will, you'll be better than any other coach in this state. And I would even probably say that if we're not in the top 0.0001%, if we're not the top, we're definitely in the top whatever in the country and maybe even the world. Like, I mean, we do more continuing ed stuff that it's fucking outrageous. And that's another one of those things. You got to decide who you're going to be. And, you know, I decided, hey, listen, we're always going to be ahead and on top of our game and be the most knowledgeable so that we can deliver the best experience and the best results to our clients, you know? So, but once again, this comes from a framework of, to do that, you have to have money. Cause especially at the beginning, it was like, man, I had to invest, like fly people in for in-staffs for a day or two, you know, seminars, you know, shut the gym down, paying people, you know, I mean, now we have a lot of collaboration, so it works out better. But, you know, for a long time I was spending, and I still do, I spend a ton of money, you know, to bring people in. Obviously, so that means I'm either taking out of my pocket, like it's coming out of somewhere, right? So the gym has to be profitable. But you also have to have this mindset like, hey, I could be a dumbass and buy another car, or I invest that amount of money into education of my team, right? And I feel like the latter is more important, right? Like it's, hey, I'm looking at longevity in the business. I'm looking at like, how do we become the best of the best of the best of the best, you know? And all of those things come back to the culture of it, because guess what? Values drive behavior, right? And values create, the culture. But those values have to be shown, right? It's like people like, man, Kaizen, I'm committed to, you know, growth. Okay, cool. What's the last seminar you went to? What have you done with the team? Like, do you get them books? Do you get them seminars? Do you bring in instats? Have you challenged them to, you know, do another cert, like, that they need to get better at? How many instats do you do teaching them stuff? Well, we don't really do. Okay, so how the fuck do you say Kaizen then? You know, like, that's just a cool word that everybody says, but how do people see that behavior, right? We have, one of our core values is being a go-giver. For 10 years, we've done a charity bootcamp every Saturday. 10 years. That's 600 charity events. We've done over $100,000 in donations, not to mention, you know, food drives, you know, supporting like the youth, different youth organizations. I can't even, like, there's been just so many things that we've done. But it's like, if I say I'm a go-giver, and like, there's nothing, we do, you know, we do 4 community dinners for the homeless and families in need every year. Like, it just, like, we do stuff all the time, you know, multiple families that we choose to give, to just buy Christmas presents for, because they can't for Christmas. Like, all the time we're doing stuff. Like, don't let me just say it, let me be it. You know what I mean? Because if you have a cool, like, you know, mural on the wall that says XYZ, like, that doesn't mean that that's who you are. Like, what you do is who you are. Same thing. Oh, I really care about my team. You know, and then I come into your gym and it's just like no communication. I talk to the coach, and the coach is like, man, like, fuck that guy. You know, like, it's like, hold up. You told me that you guys have a great relationship, right? And I've been in that space too, where I thought things were good because I was just, you know, kind of blindfolded, right, in my own shit. And that's why I think culture is the most important. But once again, like, it's very, very cliche, right? Like, because everybody uses it now. But I like to dig in into, like, what does culture even mean? Because when you improve culture, then I think it's like direction over motivation, right? So meaning people want to be guided and directed more than they want to be motivated, right? So if you can direct them to the thing that they want, that's going to motivate them, right? You just coming in and going like, let's go, guys, yeah, and firing people up and like that doesn't work long term, right? And so, like, knowing about your coaches and your team's lives and knowing what they want and like speaking to that and going like, man, I understand, like, that's got to be tough. Look, I'm like, let's figure out how we can get you a little more money. Let's figure out how we can get you a little more time off, because I know you're smoked and I've been there. I get it. You know what I mean? Like, that, those are the things that then those people want to work harder for you. You want to work harder for them. And it's an ongoing back and forth. And you're all like, basically, when I can share and go like, when we get to that place, look, we're going here. And this place matters. But when we get here, here's what's going to happen for you, right? Not just like, not here's what's going to happen for me. Like, Luca's going to get a nicer car and go on more vacation. Like, here's what's going to happen for you, right? Like, because that's what I truly want. Like, I want us to all win. Like, there is no, you know, like, if I win and my team loses because of it, that's not a fucking win. You know what I mean? Like, or the other way around. Like, if they win and I lose, that's not a win either, right? Everybody's got to win, right? And if you don't want everybody on your team to win and you're just like, well, look, I know those guys are only making this much per hour, but like, look, the business is going where shit goes wrong, you know? And we live in a day and age now where, like, man, you know, I would say, and not to shit on anybody or say, but like, man, people are switching jobs way faster, right? Because they're like, you know, most millennials, they want to create impact. They want to be part of something bigger. They're not thinking about just money. That's a completely wrong distinction. You know what I mean? Like, they're thinking about, you know what the top 3 characteristics were of millennials, the things that they wanted was, 1, they wanted to create impact. 2 is they wanted to learn. And 3, they wanted to have more time or connection with family, right? So you got to study this stuff and go like, hey, like, what is really happening? And am I like doing things in line with that? Because if you're not, you know, you're like, well, but I'm working super hard and I'm doing this and I'm giving them that. But what if they don't want that? right? It's like the relationship thing where like I buy her gifts, but you don't know her love language, right? You got to read the love languages book and figure out what she wants. Like this is, it's the same thing. Like, man, I'm giving them everything. You're not giving them what they want.
Yep.
And you got to figure that out. And that creates, you know, and that's a short snippet into it, but that creates kind of like the culture. And of course, that's going to drive a lot of like the implementation of the learning, which is coaching, and same thing with customer experience. Just people wanting to do, you know, like I think systems of customer experience are very important, but I'll tell you what, if you have people that are passionate about the mission and vision of what you're doing, they're going to do cool stuff regardless, right? They don't need a checklist, right? Because you can have a checklist and not have inspired people. And guess what? They're not going to do the stuff on the checklist. But you can have inspired people because you do a lot of the other things right. And then they'll do cool shit without a checklist, right? That's not to say, you know, you don't need systems or that they don't have a place. But show me a business with a great leader that is pouring into his team and caring about their goals and their vision and making like work great, because a lot of our life is work. And if you make that part of their life amazing, and you'll see a team of people that are doing some great shit. And I'll take that team over an uninspiring leader that cares about himself, that is worried about more about the numbers than his people. And they have every checklist in the world. You know what I mean? Team one is going to fucking destroy them. You know what I mean? Like, now obviously the best is having the kind of, like both in the right places, of course. But I think that's the, you know, people want to talk to me about marketing. I love talking marketing. I could talk about marketing for a year straight right now if we go into it. But
I don't doubt it. I honestly don't doubt it.
but you know, I do think that it's kind of like putting the cart before the horse, and it's not, I feel like, yeah, there are people that have marketing problems. I feel a lot more businesses have to kind of start like looking inward first, and checking that box before they do too much else. And once again, like, you know, business is interesting because you can't just go, oh, well, today I'm just going to work on this. You know, like it's, you know, once you go from a trainer to a business owner, it's like this, you know, you're juggling, you know, sales, marketing, systems, fulfillment, leadership, did it, right? And it takes time. And then, you know, hopefully there's a point in time where, you know, you have help and somebody's helping you coach or this, that, and the other, but like you get admins, you get, you know, COOs and people to outsource, you have, you know, accounting, all these different things that, you know, we have, you know, and it's stuff that you build. And that's, I mean, that's a lot of the stuff that I do in my business coaching. It's not like, okay, cool, like here's an ad, like, man, that's easy. Like it's a lot of the puzzle pieces on how you put things together so that it works, so that you build a business that you love and enjoy coming to. But it's also, you know, you can have your life and, you know, you can go on vacations, you can have time with your family and, you know, it's things that you deserve, man. Like, you know, I feel like a big thing in the fitness industry that's an issue is if you ask out of 10 people, you know, who has a exit plan, man, you're going to get a lot of, you know, people sweating bullets, you know, like, I don't know, you know, whether it's 401ks and Roth IRAs and stuff like that. But, you know, my goal, like, look, to me, to be honest, like, I don't ever want to exit, you know, but there's a big difference between wanting to exit or having the capability to exit. And, you know, part of me, I mean, this was my vision, but part of me buying this building and owning some real estate besides this building is being in a position that, you know, in 7 years, 10 years, like legit, I could just go like, all right, man, I'm done. I'm good. Like, I, you know, I'd sell this for millions, whatever, but not that I want to, but it gives you a different peace of mind and a different security. And so part of that, you know, I think that it's important to think about these things, you know, like it's things I talk to people about, like, hey, are you investing in a whole life, or you do have 401ks, Roth IRAs, like, what do you have going on that, you know, that is giving you that? Because, you know, you go to most companies, it's like, oh, you know, we'll match your 401k, we'll do this, we'll do that. Those are things that I would say fitness business owners need to be educated on. And people hate talking about it because they usually don't have it, you know, I would say in place. So it's easier to just be like, oh, fuck it, you know? But it's important like that. My goal in the fitness kind of industry, like part of what I want to do is, you know, help more quality coaches and gym owners be able to create these businesses and like get educated so that we improve the industry, right? Because it's like part of the goal is like, hey, you know, in the book Legacy, it says leave the jersey better than you found it. And like, I want to leave, you know, first off, more than anything, you know, the people that I coach and are part of my team better than when they started. Same thing for the renting community where we're based, but for the industry, one of my goals is to leave the industry better than I found it, in a sense of like, I give to it as much as I possibly can of the things that I know and have learned through the ups and downs of, you know, being in it for going on, you know, 2 decades. And so, you know, there's obviously a lot to talk about. But I guess that, like, at least on, you know, on a call like this, that I throw some things out there that maybe, you know, if it hits you in the gut and you're like, oh, motherfucker, you know, and that's probably means you gotta deal with it. You know, it's probably something you should look into, because it's a blind spot. And like, sure, it's just like counting calories. Like, you know, you get people to count calories. They don't like to do it a lot because they kind of know, like, fuck, this is going to be bad. You know, like,
doesn't fit.
But you know what? It's like this. Awareness precedes change. I said it before, but guess what precedes awareness, right? What precedes awareness is assessment. You know, you have to assess something, and that creates the awareness. Like, hey, where are you spending your money? Holy shit, I'm spending, like, you know, $500 a month on alcohol. Jesus Christ. Like, you know, that assessment creates awareness, right? Awareness makes you go, damn, like, that's not fucking good. Maybe I should change that, right? And so it goes for everything, you know, whether it's your sales, your marketing, your leadership, your team. Like, and this is not at all to, like, try to overwhelm anyone, because, like, where do you start? Well, you start with the next thing. You start with one thing. That's it. You don't start with everything. You start with one thing. And I always like to say, first of all, where success, right? People throw the word success out a lot. Success comes from the word succession. Succession just means basically the next thing. It means you took the next step, right? You did the next thing. So if you're in applying it, you're succeeding, right? Because you're improving. No matter how big or small that successful. Like, hey, next week, if you've done a little bit more than this week, you're successful. You know what I mean? Like, and you know, in my business coaching, I do this thing called key four. And it's like, and I said, look, man, what if you do one thing a week, let alone four? If you do four things a week that'll move your business forward, not 40, four. Four key things, right? Key four. If you do four key things to move your business forward, man, if you do that every week, that's 216 things every month. 208, you know, action steps to grow your business. Do you think a year from now you'll be in a different place? Fucking, you better believe it. You know, even if you mess up and get 2 out of 4, you still did 100, you know, 104 things, like, to move your business forward. Now, in that first week, it might not seem a lot, maybe not even that first month, but then it's going to start compounding. And like, by month 4, 5, 6, and all of a sudden, man, you're stacking these, you know, these actions and behaviors, man, you got a whole different, you know, whole different business and a whole different life. You know, one of the things I'll finish with this, man, like, this has actually been one of the most powerful, not quotes, but just realizations. Me and John Berardi is a good friend. I love that dude. He's and he said something and it really stuck with me. He said, you know, most people think that things are going to be harder than they actually are. Right. The belief, like, it's like, oh, man, it's going to be so hard. It's not that hard. It's actually simple things that need to be applied. But they drastically underestimate how long it'll take, right? Drastically. So it's not as hard, but there's got to be a lot of consistency and a lot of time. So, you know, if you think you're going to get done in 3 months, it'll probably be like a year and a half, right? Or, hey, we can do this in a year. It might take 5, right? We can do this in 3, it'll be 10. And so, but it's not going to be as hard as you think, right? It's kind of like, hey, listen, man, like, put out a blog post a week, do this, send an email. Like, it's not these crazy challenging things. It's just doing them consistently, right? Get these little things done exceptionally well. And, you know, I think people make it very complex. Oh my God, I got to do this super complex thing to succeed. It's like, no. It's these simple things. It's just going to be consistent for seeing frequency. That's what you're underestimating. So then you get to month 3 and you're like, oh, we're nowhere near where we should be. And then you quit. And you start another thing because you think that thing is going to be better, but really you were 6 months away of more work, of fucking seeing some real serious fruits of labor. You know what I mean? Like, and that doesn't mean that you can't see results faster than, you know, 3 months or not. But like, for the things that people actually want. So I want to double my business. I want to, you know, lose 80 pounds. I want to really improve my relationship with my wife, even though I've been a dickhead for like the last 3 years. You know, like, You know, and it's like you want it faster than it's than what the reality of how long it's going to take is, you know. And sometimes it's tough because it's like, you know, I understand marketing, and so it's like, hey, 3x your business in 3 days. You know, like, I mean, shit, the Vigor Ground Summit, we had that as one of the taglines, and it's like, but there's a dot dot dot, like, learn all the stuff that will help you 3x your business, you know, in those 3 days. That's what you'll learn, and then you're going to take 3 years implementing it. You know what I mean? But saying that, people are like, ah, fuck that. There's another guy that says that you can change my whole life in a weekend. You know, so there's a lot of work that's got to be put in. But hopefully that does, you know, shed some light on some craziness that goes on inside of my mind that you guys got to listen to.
It's very valuable. Well, you read a lot of books, so you filled your mind up with a lot of stuff. But no, we appreciate, Luca, all the stuff that you just mentioned to the audience. How can people... Well, tell us about your gym, firstly, if people are in the area. We'll be in the U.S. in May, but we won't be in Washington. No. But tell us more about your gym,
you guys are messing up.
People can find out more about you.
So the gym is vigorgroundfitness.com is the website for the gym. VIGORGROUND fitness. So literally Vigor Ground Fitness. And that's where the blogs, all the podcasts get put on and stuff. But honestly, for my social media, that's where I share the most stuff, probably the most active on Instagram, where it's just at Luca Hocevar. So LukaHocevar. So first, last name together. Same thing on Facebook. And on the Facebook business page, we also put out a lot of videos. So that's just Vigor Ground Fitness and Performance. If you plug that into to Facebook, you'll find it. Just follow it. There's a lot of cool stuff on there. I could probably go deeper, but honestly, like all the other stuff, like I share it through there. So you'll get to know about it.
Cool.
Incredible. All right, Luca, thanks so much for being on the show, mate. We appreciate it.
My pleasure, guys.
Thanks, Luca.
Have a great one, man.